I think a very appropriate topic would be clothing. Since I see everybody here is clothed, I think it would be appropriate to talk about clothing.
Thank God.
So clothing relates to Parshas Tetzaveh, and clothing relates to Megillas Esther, and clothing relates to the purpose of creation.
Really?
Now, we can't get into everything about clothing, because for that we don't have enough time. For that we would need hours. I feel bad, the H is silent. Maybe the H doesn't want to be silent, maybe the H wants to make his voice heard. So, but just to give just a few yeseldos.
It's itching to be heard.
It says in the Medrash like this. V'zeh ha'davar asher ta'aseh lahem. This is what you should do for them. So what's this talking about? This week's parasha. What do we have in this week's parasha? This week's parasha, we have the big day kahuna. So it says, Hadu d'chsiv. This is what it says in the pasuk. Kavod chachamim yinchalu. Who inherits honor? The wise men. Ve'en kavod ela Torah. And the only true kavod is Torah. And then the Medrash says, and the first person about whom it says the word kavod is Yavitz. Yavitz, as we'll see later, is Osniel ben Kenaz. We'll see what he did later. But it says a pasuk about him, Vayi Yavitz nechbar me'achiv. He was more honorable than his brothers. Why kavod? Because he toiled in Torah. So you see that somebody who toils in Torah gets honor. So honor is in Torah. And so too, it says in this week's parasha that about Aaron. What does it say about Aaron? It says the Torah of truth was in his mouth. What did God say to Moshe? You should make holy clothing for Aaron and his brothers for honor and for glory. And says the Medrash, this is all b'schus haTorah. Because since Aaron had Torah, Aaron also got the garments, the important garments. In this week's parasha, we read about the big day kahuna, the priestly garments. So these were given to Aaron. Why? Because Aaron had Torah. Torah gives you honor. So therefore, he got clothing of honor. So what's this whole idea of why does clothing give you honor? So we know it says in the Medrash, and we all know the halacha, that you have to wear nice clothing for Shabbos. I don't know, I see some guys walking around on Shabbos, and they look like they're dressed perfectly for a Sunday afternoon. For a Sunday afternoon. But the mistake is that we hold that Shabbos is on Saturday. So since our Shabbos is on Saturday, so it's not appropriate on Saturday to be walking around like you'd be walking around on a Sunday. Shabbos is Saturday. It's on Shabbos you should wear. Not if you don't want to wear a suit, so at least a white shirt. Or at least, you know, something, or at least something very nice. If it doesn't, I know it's preferable to wear white. I'll pick up all you should wear all white on Shabbos. I don't know why we don't do it. But it's brought down in the Shari Tshuva, on the Mishnah Berurah page, that you should, from the Arizal, that you should wear white on Shabbos. But in any event, you're supposed to wear new, good, clean clothes on Shabbos, nice clothing, whatever's considered nice in that country. So in America, in most places, it's a suit. In Israel, depending on what community you live in some places they wear suits. In some places during the summer, they wear a white shirt and dark pants. And that's also good depending on where you live, but it shouldn't be less than what's acceptable in that area. In other words, it shouldn't be a sweatsuit. When you're dressing nicely, you never wear a sweatsuit. So it says, you should be mechabed Shabbos with nice clothing. And how are the Jewish people honoring Shabbos? We eat, we drink, and we wear clean clothing. Why? Because originally, God made clothing for Adam. What type of clothing? It says katnot or. What type of clothing did he make? It says big day kahuna. That God made for Adam. And whenever the Medrash tells us something, it's sometimes telling us something literal and sometimes it's telling us an idea. So we always have to try to figure out what the Medrash is trying to teach us. There's always a lesson and we have to figure out what the lesson is. So he gave him the begadim of the Kohen Gadol. Before the Mishkan was built, so who used to do the Avodah? The Becholos, the firstborn. And therefore God gave Adam the Big Day Kahuna because he was the Kohen Gadol. Why was Adam the Kohen Gadol? Because he was the firstborn. The firstborn of who?
Human beings.
Of creation, of the world. So Adam is wearing the Big Day Kohen Gadol. So when was Adam created? On Friday. So the Medrash is saying, you have to be Mechabed Shabbos with nice clothing. Where do you see that? Because on Friday, God gave Adam nice clothing. And Adam was dressed as the Kohen Gadol. So the Medrash connects the two things. The Medrash connects the Big Day Kihuna and Big Day Shabbos. So when you wear nice clothing on Shabbos, it's like wearing the Big Day Kihuna, which is what God put on Adam. When I say the Big Day Kihuna, I mean the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. What does it say in the famous Gemara Masechet Shabbos? Rav Yochanan used to wear nice clothing. What did he call them? Mechubdasei, they honor me. And when you wear nice clothing, you're honored. Imagine you would go into the into surgery. Imagine you'd go into surgery, and you're a surgeon. You hear it's like it's a world famous professor, and you meet him now for the first time, and he's about to do Lo'aleinu brain surgery, and he's wearing ripped jeans, and a tank top, and a baseball cap sideways. How would you feel? You'd rather not. You'd rather at least. If he's a doctor, he should be wearing what? Pajamas. Let him be wearing his little green pajamas. You know, let him look like a doctor looks. And then if you meet a big rabbi, let's say a big Rosh Yeshiva, they're saying the biggest Rosh Yeshiva in Israel is coming to speak in our yeshiva. And he walks into the Beis Medrash, and what is he wearing? He's wearing a New York Knicks jersey, full New York Knicks uniform, with the shirt, with the sweat, with the shorts, with high top sneakers. And you see all the hair on his legs, and you see his underarms, and you're a little bit surprised, because you're expecting that if he's the biggest Rosh Yeshiva in Israel, he should wear clothing that honors him. So a lot of Bnei Torah don't wear even shorts, because since clothing are supposed to honor you, so it's not so honorable to be showing so much of your body. That's why the Maharal says, tznius and kavod are the same thing, which we're gonna explain in a moment. But by covering yourself up with nice clothing, that is what gives you honor. And the question is, why do clothing give you honor? Why are the Big Day Kohen Gadol called honorable? Why is our clothing supposed to honor us? And you see that, by the way. You see that. The more a guy gets into learning, the more respectable he dresses. That's usually the case. Because he wouldn't, sometimes a guy walks into yeshiva and he has a picture of some rock star in his t-shirt, you know, in some band, and by the end of the year, he wouldn't be caught dead in that. Right? Because he thinks it's beneath his dignity. Like, this doesn't bring me honor. I like Jimi Hendrix. There was a guy who used to walk around with a Jimi Hendrix. Do you guys know who Jimi Hendrix is?
Yeah.
Do you know where Jimi Hendrix is now? Jimi Hendrix is now a poster boy for what happens when you use too much drugs. Okay. So, if I remember correctly, he died of an overdose.
Yeah. At the age of 27.
At the age of 27? Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, what's the idea of clothing? So, before we get to clothing, why did God create the world? It's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Why did God... Yeshaya?
Yeah.
Why? That's your name. Why did Hashem create the world? So the pasuk says, Kol anikra bishmi, v'lichvodi barasif. Anything that's called in my name, I created for my honor. And that's why it says in Pirkei Avos that anything in Pirkei Vav, everything in this world God created, He created for His honor. So now we have
even
to understand.
Even the low tov?
Everything was tov. It doesn't say low tov in creation.
I'm saying now. Everything that's created now.
Yeah. Everything has to bring ultimately to God's honor. That's why when everything switches around to the good, that's also going to bring honor. And that's the greatest honor. When something that looks like it's going against you, that looks like it's an opposing force, is now going to be, on the contrary, it's going to be helping. We're going to see at the end of days how all the bad is going to turn into good. That's the messianic view that all the evil in this world is going to turn into good. How it's going to happen, hopefully we'll find out sooner rather than later.
Is it going to be considered to be alive during that time or to be dead? If
you're a tzaddik, it's probably good to be alive. Hopefully we'll be tzaddikim and we'll be fine. Brian, I wouldn't worry if I were you. So, what is the purpose of creation? The purpose is kavod, to give God kavod. So now we have to understand what kavod is. So Rav Goldvichti, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Keren B'Yavne, he explains in his sefer like this. He says that kavod is not only him. It's written in a lot of svarim, but this happens to be what I'm saying now. I happen to have seen in his recently that kavod is when you show externally. There's an external display of somebody's internal qualities. For example, when somebody, let's say a Talmud Chacham walks in the room and you stand up. Why are you standing up? Because of the suit that he's wearing. Because of his nose. Because he has a molars in his mouth. Why are you standing up? As a sign of respect for what?
For his Torah.
For him. For what's inside of him. For his Torah. He has Torah knowledge. So you're showing, it's an external show. In other words, you're getting up, which is something external. But you're showing by giving him this kavod that there's something much deeper here. That's the definition of kavod. Anytime you give somebody kavod, you're giving somebody honor, respect. You're doing it, your parents. You're mechabed your parents, you get your mother a drink. Why? Why? Just because she's thirsty? There are plenty of people in this world who are thirsty. No. But you're going to run to get your mother a drink because you want to show your mother, you know, she brought you into this world. You want to show her special respect. How great she is. Chaim Shmuel Levitt says that you're not properly yotze the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim unless you think about some quality your parents have that no one else has.
Make him the greatest person in the generation.
Make him the greatest person in his generation. Excellent, Shaya. That you have to think of how special your parents, how your parents are, not necessarily the tzaddikim of the generation, but what quality they have that makes them extraordinary. So that is covered. And then when you stand up for them and they walk in the room, you're showing, I know that you have this quality. I mean, I'm going to respect you no matter what, but I'm giving you extra special respect because I appreciate the value of who you are and what you've done for me, and therefore I'm going to show you respect. That's the purpose. So that's what kavod means. So when it says that God created this world for kavod, what does that mean? What it means is, who's hiding in creation? Hashem. Like, for example, you say the word hateva, nature. What's the gematria of nature? Elohim. It's 86. Why is nature and God the same? Because God is hiding in nature. Right now, like Spinoza said, that God is nature, chas v'shalom. But God is within nature. Or like the Arizal says, v'ata mechaya es kulam. It says in the Pasuk, we say it in Davening. You give life to everything. Everything has a spark of God in it. Nothing exists without a spark of God. So this table in front of us has a spark of God, and food has a spark of God, and that's why when we eat, it says, lo al lechem levadu yichi adam, ki alkom motza pi Hashem yichi adam. Man does not live by bread alone, man lives by the word of God. So the Mekubalim explained that that means that you don't live by the food alone, rather you live by the spark of God that is within the food. So without God, there's no life, there's no existence. That's why God is called Elohim Chaim. He's the God of life. When it says that God created the world for His honor, it means that we're supposed to look at this physical world, which is only external, and we're supposed to see how this is all a display, this is all showing that there's a God that's behind it. For example, in Hebrew, how do you say to speak? Ledaber. Excellent. How do you say a thing? Davar. What is the connection between speaking and a thing? You have an object. Anything's an object, a davar. It's not speaking. What does that have to do with speaking? It's two completely different concepts. So the Mekubalim explained that every davar in this world, everything in this world is speaking. It's saying something. What's it saying? That there's a God. And we're supposed to see God in everything. That's why the Rambam says, you want to see God? What do you have to study? Torah and nature. You want to see God? Study nature. Everything in this world, you look at, you study the human body. You study the animal kingdom. Everything you look at in the world, you'll see indications that there's a God. There's a prime mover. There's a creator, because these things don't happen all by itself. Like the example I gave in a previous week, right? That one day I was playing around with, like, my little son was playing around with plastic, some little piece of plastic and some metal, and all of a sudden, it was just this big bang that I heard, and it was a computer. A big, new, beautiful computer. Mama said, yeah! And it was working, it was unbelievable! I had wireless, man! It was amazing. So,
why are you not making money off of this?
What? No, so he only did it once. It was only a one-time deal. So the world didn't come into existence by accident. The world's a lot more complex than a computer. Or, you know, one day I was sitting at the table, and I wanted to write a book, and I scratched my head because I had an itch, and I accidentally knocked over my inkwell, and all the ink got all over the paper, and there was my book. There was my book. It was unbelievable. It spilled like, you know, there was a lot of ink, so it went from paper to paper to paper.
It doesn't happen to that many people.
It doesn't happen. So the world is a lot more complex than a book, and it didn't happen by accident. So everything in this world is saying the covet of God, and we have to appreciate that. What's the idea of the big day of the big day kahuna? What's the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash? You have the Beis HaMikdash. And in the Beis HaMikdash, what we're supposed to do is, we're supposed to take this physical world and elevate it. What's an animal? Is there anything more physical than an animal? You know what an animal lives its life like? I'm just like a behemoth. Like an animal. Like an animal. And what do we make that animal into?
Food.
A carbon to Hashem. We're trying to elevate that carbon. So the carbon that goes up to God in a fire, so it goes up. Kiviyachol. So that's Hashem. What about what we eat? So A, it's a mitzvah to eat it, it's holy. And B, let's say you eat a piece of chicken. Beforehand, what was the chicken? A piece of chicken. Why did the chicken cross cross the road?
To get away from
the because it was chicken, because somebody was about to shech them.
Animals
so it was, what?
Animals are holy?
No, animals are not holy.
So, but you said when we eat them, they're
holy. Oh, so that's it. So Shia, that's it. So Shia eats a piece of chicken, and then Shia goes to daven mincha, and who's giving him the koch to daven mincha? The chicken. So the chicken is your mincha partner.
Aren't some animals
what if you're vegetarian?
Because you're only allowed to eat holy animals. Aren't
you're only allowed to eat certain animals, right?
What if you're vegetarian?
Some animals are holier.
So if you're
somewhat holy.
The animals themselves.
Vegetables are holy.
We don't look at animals as being holy. We don't say that animals are holy. We say everything in this world has a godly spark. Mm-hmm. But animals, but animals in particular, we bring as korbanos and we try to elevate them to Hashem. And when we eat them, we make them holy because afterwards we do mitzvahs with them. So we're in the Beis Hamikdash and we're bringing korbanos. And we're elevating all the Gashmias to Ruchnias. Then, in the Beis HaMikdash, what happened? There were 10 Nisim. What were the Nisim about? The Nisim were also to show that this is a physical world. But, when you're in the Beis HaMikdash, and you're giving me Kavod, and you're bringing Karbanos, so I am going to show you that I'm there. In other words, I'm going to show you behind the veil. In other words, you're giving Kavod because Hashem is behind the veil, Hashem is hiding. You don't see him clearly. And then by showing us a miracle, God is saying, ah, you're giving me kavod. You're showing me that you're appreciating my existence. So I also am going to appreciate your existence. And I'm going to show you that I exist. Not I'm going to appreciate your existence. But I'm going to show you that I exist by doing miracles for you. So that's the idea of the Big Day Kahuna. The Big Day Kahuna is that in the Beis HaMikdash, we are giving kavod to Hashem because we are taking all the physical and elevating it to the spiritual to show that we know it's like, again, an external display of something deeper. You're giving something physical to show that there's a spiritual element to this world. And then, Mida Keneged Mida, Hashem does miracles in the Beis HaMikdash to show us, yeah, I'm here. And that's why, who does the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash? The Kohen. And what are the Kohen's clothing called? Kavod. Le Kavod le Teferis. They're called clothing of honor. Because again, the idea of honor is to show that there's something much deeper there. We're giving an external show of a much deeper spiritual element. So that's why these Kohanim would wear these special clothing to show that. And that's again, when you wear nice clothing for Shabbos, it's the same idea. You're making an external, people say, oh, all that matters is the heart. The heart is the most important thing, and you have to have Shabbos in your heart. But you also have to show, in a very physical way, that you believe that Shabbos is special. And you do that by wearing nice clothing. We say, you're supposed to put on something before you daven. Some people wear a hat and jacket. Some people just wear a jacket. Some people wear a gartel. Different people wear put on different clothing for davening. What's the idea behind that? Does God need it? No, God doesn't need anything. But we want to show Hashem. We think it's important to talk to you. So we're showing you that we respect you. And when you respect somebody, you get dressed up when they come to town. So when you're about to daven, it means God is coming. So you get dressed up, and I can tell you it makes a difference. It changes, at least for myself it has. It changed from the time that I didn't put on anything special for davening, to the time that I did put on something special for davening, and to this day, when I'm about to daven, I know, oh, I have to get dressed. I'm about to daven. I know sometimes I daven without, I don't have it, or I don't have anything around extra to put on. I don't have my hat or my jacket, so I just daven, with regular, like in my regular clothing, and I don't feel the same. Like I feel like I'm like sort of chatting with a friend as opposed to speaking to the king of the world. Like you feel like you're getting dressed up to speak to Hashem. Yes, Bishai.
What happens when you make a bracha?
You make a bracha, you're not chayiv. There are tzaddikim who get dressed up to make a who put on a gartel. I read of a guy recently, even to make an asher yotzar, if he'd get up in the middle of the night and go take care of nature's needs, he would get dressed and he put on his nice clothing and his gartel and he would say asher yotzar. But that's a very, very high madriga. So for a bracha, you don't have to, but for benching, it says in halacha that you have to. Mm-hmm. It says in halacha for everybody. It says so I'm not here to, we're not talking about halacha, but it's definitely worthwhile even to put on it doesn't have to be a hat even, but at least a jacket, because it could very well be that if the Gadol HaDor came to our yeshiva, then you wouldn't wear a hat. So even though, it still might be a show of respect, but at least a jacket to show that you're speaking to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, but I obviously, don't make yeshiva policy, so whatever yeshiva policy is yeshiva policy, but I'm just talking about what the ideal is. And we'll go to questions afterwards, because I don't want to lose my train of thought. So that is that. Now, why is Torah called kavod? We talk about kavod haTorah, right? So it says the only true honor is Torah. Why? How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? With Torah. It says Torah is the map of the world. Estakel Boraisis is the Zohar, and he created the world. Now, let's say you learn Torah, but you learn Torah in depth. You learn Torah really, really deep. What are you doing? You're giving kavod to the Torah. Why? Because you're saying, ah, I just see a Gemara here, very simple, straightforward, you know, a question and an answer, but I want to give kavod and I want to go much deeper. I know there's a lot more there, because that's what kavod is. There's something on the surface that you see, and then you want to appreciate the fact that there's a lot more behind that. So, and that's incidentally also with clothing, right? The reason when you cover up, the reason the Maharal says snias is kavod, is because when you cover up, you're showing there's something much deeper. When a woman, she shows her body, what is she trying to do? She's trying to attract your eyes to her body, or your eyes are going to be attracted to her body, whether that's her intention or not. And then what are you forgetting about? The fact that she has a soul. By covering up what she's showing, she's saying, don't focus on my body. I'm covering up my body to show you that what should you do? You should look much deeper and look into my soul. The idea of tznius is not just a matter of us not, you know, thinking about arayas all day, which is also helpful if when we are addressing tzinur, we're not thinking we're less likely to think about these things. But it's also a display. It's like I am giving myself cover by covering up by saying that it's not about my body, but it's about my soul. So I'm covering up my body so that you look deeper. And it's the same thing for a man, that when you dress nicely, you say I don't want to reveal my body. Because I want to show you that I have a deep soul, and that you see in Chazal talk about a chalukah de rabbanan, the rabbis wear special garments, and I think every ben Torah, you know, again, I don't think it has to be, you know, a white shirt and dark pant, you know, a dark suit every day and a hat. I don't think that's for you guys at all, but I do think that you should be dressing different than goyim. That's all. As if you see a Jew and a goy, the only difference shouldn't be a little bit of a fabric on his head. There should be a difference, whether it's the fact that, you know, your shirt is in your pants, or the fact that, you know, it's clean. That's very important. Cleanliness is very important. It says ksus naki on Shabbos, and maybe that it's iron, you know, it looks all wrinkled, doesn't give you cover. It says in the Gemara that if a Talmud Chacham walks around and he has a oil stain on his garment, mischayev benafsho, he's chayev misa. If a Talmud Chacham, people say, oh, you know, some of these religious people, they wear disgusting clothing. If a guy's wearing disgusting clothing, so it says that, not literally, the Beis Din doesn't take him and execute him. What it's saying is it's a tremendous Chil HaShem. Because you're not, the question's afterwards. So you're not bringing Kavod to the Torah. So everybody in this room who represents Torah, because in this generation, the guys in Yeshiva are the ones who represent Torah. So by representing Torah, you should make sure that your clothing is clean, and that your clothing is neat, and that your clothing is respectable. And in that way, you'll be good role models and good representatives of Torah. So what does it mean, Kavod HaTorah? So it's interesting. It says that when God created the world, there was this great light, right? We talked about it on Thursday night, for those who were there and remember. There was a great light, and they can see from one end of the world to the next. They could see everything. Everything was completely transparent. But then God put it away. God put away this light, ganaz. He put it in storage. Until the end of days. However, in Kabbalah, in the Sefer HaBoyer, which is a famous Kabbalistic Sefer, so he says that you can still find it even in this world, even before Mashiach comes, this light. Where can you find it? In Torah Shebaal Peh. Menorah, Menorah represents Torah, right? Same idea. In Torah Shebaal Peh. What's the idea of Torah Shebaal Peh? Torah Shebaal Peh is you take one pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Zechor es yom haShabbos l'kadsho. Let's say you wanted to learn that pasuk be'iyun. How long would it take you to really learn that pasuk well? Zechor es yom haShabbos l'kadsho. How long? Not one, not two, not three, but at least 100 lifetimes. Shabbos! To go through each malach of Shabbos! To go through Choresh, and Zoreah, and Kotzer, and Bishul. Do you know how many books are written on Bishul? And they just keep coming out with more cooking on Shabbos. Coming out with more and more and more books. And that's just Shabbos! And let's say somebody wants to, you know, go into the pasuk of Vizavachta, Kasher Shatzer Tzivisi. You should slaughter an animal as I commanded. Now, where in the Torah does God command us how to slaughter an animal? He doesn't. So from that pasuk you see that we need the oral law. Because it says command, slaughter as I commanded, and we don't know where God commanded. It's because he told us. Now let's say you just wanted to study laws of Shechita for the rest of your life. You'd be very, very busy. You'd be very busy. And that goes, you want to study Hilchos Pesach? Forget about it. You would just it doesn't end Hilchos Pesach. And that's Torah Shebaal Peh. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. So why is true kavod Torah? True kavod is Torah because that's what Torah. When you study Torah, what are you doing? You're going to the depths of the Torah and to the depths of creation, because it says that when God created the world, He created it with Torah. However, the light with which that originally existed when the world was created was put away and put in the Torah, which means that originally when the world was created, we can see everything was transparent. You could see everything. There was great spirituality in the world. You could see godliness. But today we can't see it anymore. It's hidden. Where is it hidden? It's hidden in the Torah. So by learning Torah, that itself is an act of kavod, by showing Hashem that there's something a lot deeper. And we have to respect that person, because now this person is filled with kavod. And that's why it says in Mesillas Yesharim and other places, that the Medrash we started with, Medrash is earlier than Mesillas Yesharim, that the only true kavod is Torah. That's why we give so much kavod to Torah. It's interesting. The Rambam Paskins talks about the halachas of Talmud Torah, if I remember correctly. He says puts two together. Lil modu l'lameh, to learn and teach Torah, they go together. I think he says to teach and to learn, because they really have to, it's not enough to learn Torah, you have to teach. And besides that, also to be mechabed talmid chachamim. So that's also very crucial, that it's not enough just to learn, but also to give kavod to Torah, because that's the idea. Learning Torah itself is an act of kavod, because you're showing that there's a lot more depth to Torah. And then when you see the depth of Torah, you see the depth of creation. And we have to honor somebody who's filled with that Torah. In other words, we have to show external displays of respect for somebody who's filled with so much inside. So that's the idea of kavod. The idea of kavod, again, is something external to show that there's something much deeper. In other words, you do chitzonius for pnimius. Chitzonius is an external display, and pnimius is a deeper internal world. So that is all. That's why it says, en kavod ela Torah. So this Torah is levush. This kavod is a levush. This is like a garment. And but what is a garment? Again, a garment is to show that there's something much deeper. There's something on the inside. Now, who is this guy Yaivitz? It says the only guy who really had kavod was Yaivitz. So Chazal say in the Gemara in Tumura that Yaivitz was Osniel ben Kenaz. What happened? What happened was Moshe Rabbeinu died, and the Jewish people forgot a lot of Torah. So what did Osniel ben Kenaz do? He started doing pilpul. Pilpul means he started asking questions, he started thinking, he started analyzing, and then he retrieved all the lost halachas. Imagine you have a computer, you have all this Torah in your computer, and you lose it, you go to Osniel ben Kenaz, and he figures it out on his own. So why does it say that the Medrash says, we started, that the only person who truly had kavod was Osniel ben Kenaz? Why? Because Osniel ben Kenaz truly had Torah. Why did he truly have Torah? Because he had Torah Shebaal Peh. In other words, they lost all the halachas of Torah Shebaal Peh, many of them, that Moshe Rabbeinu had taught. And Osniel ben Kenaz, this guy whose name is Yaivitz, that was his nickname in the Torah, so he brought it back with his pilpul, with his studying. So that's why the only true covetous Torah, and that's really a job of the Ben Torah in this world, is not to look at life externally. For example, you meet a girl, so what do you like about her? First thing that strikes you is, I hope not her, because then you wouldn't like her very much if she's the first thing that strikes you. Bang. Right? She hits you, strikes you. Rather, what's the first thing that strikes you? Her looks. In all of history, it has not happened once, ever, that somebody was happily married to a woman only because she was pretty. Never once. And if she's pretty, and to go along with it, she doesn't have good character, so she is going to turn very ugly very soon. Right? Doesn't matter how pretty she is, but in your eyes, we're going to talk about Vashti in a moment. I'm glad that you brought that up. She's going to be ugly in your eyes very soon. It has never happened. And what about her, let's say her mothering skills. Let's say you go out with a girl and she's really fun to hang out with, but you never want her to be the mother of your child. Right? So that's looking deeper. You're not just looking at her as how much fun it is to be with her right now. Oh, we go out for pizza and we have a great time. You're looking at what type of mother is she going to be for my children. You have to look deeper. Does she have any spiritual depth? Like, can you have a conversation with her? Or is everything just about shopping and money and vacations? Because it happens in this world that there are girls who are shallow. Now, there are also guys who are shallow. But if you have depth to you, we believe that you do, you have your own kavod, then you want somebody else who you can honor. It says you have to be mechabed your wife. It says you have to be mechabed your wife more than you're mechabed yourself. That's what the Rambam says. So, when do you respect your wife? If there's something to respect. Meaning, if she has something on the inside also. So not to completely ignore the outside, but also look on the inside. Let's say you get a pretty painting. Does the pretty painting need panemius? No. Just make sure the painting is nice to look at. So that's the difference. Tonight we learned the difference between a wife and a painting. A painting, it only matters what it looks like. But a wife, you also want something that's on the inside. Right? Let's say you have a friend, and the guy is fun to hang out with, and you like spending time with him, but he has no depth to him. You can't have any real conversation. So that's not the type of friend you want. You're right, he's cool, and he's got a fancy car, but you want a friend who you can respect, with cover. So when you look at this world, you're not only supposed to look at the externals, you're supposed to look at what's deeper. So that is, and it's the same thing when you study Torah, and it's the same thing when you look at creation, and you study science, everything. You're not supposed to just look at what you see, but you're supposed to look deeper. And that's the idea of the Big Day Kahuna. They're supposed to show that there's something deeper here, in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why Adam Rishon Gan Eden was wearing Big Day Kahuna. And that's why, and he had this light that he can see from one end of the world to the other. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why on Shabbos we wear Big Day Shabbos, which is supposed to remind us of the Big Day Kahuna, which also shows Shabbos is important. So now somebody brought up Vashti before. Interesting. It says that Vashti refused to come. So Rashi says that Vashti used to make the woman this robe, and what happened to Mickey Mantle when he died? He was dismantled. He was dismantled. Okay? So let's say you have a guy named Steve Robe. What would happen to Steve Robe if he would die? He would be disrobed. Okay. So, disrobed? Yeah. It means... No, this. This.
I'm a disrobe.
There
you are. In your mind.
So it says that she would make the Jewish women take off their clothing and do melacha on Shabbos, and therefore there was a gzeira against her that she also was supposed to come in front of everybody. By the way, when they were calling her to come in front of everybody, you know what she was supposed to be wearing?
Nothing.
The same exact thing she was wearing the moment she was born. The same clothing. Yes?
So, she was born with clothing?
No.
Oh, okay.
So the Gemara says that it was me. What?
What did they do to the woman?
To Vashti. Achashverosh calls Vashti into the party, and he says Vashti is supposed to come in naked. And Chazal says it was Mida Keneged Mida. Vashti forced the Jewish women to wear nothing, so she also was told to come in front of everybody wearing nothing. So the question is, when she had the women, by the way, it's significant. When did she disrobe the women? On Shabbos. I guess maybe to take away the covet of Shabbos. Because she was trying to disrespect Shabbos. So therefore, she was also disrespected. The only question is, Vashti yourself, she doesn't have any Shabbos. So what does this have to do with her making the women disrobe on Shabbos? So, Vashti was not Jewish.
No, were they Jewish?
The Jewish women who worked for her were Jewish. Yeah, that was the point. So, why do we wear? Once let's get to the answer, and then we'll then comments and questions. Why did Vashti? What's the idea of wearing clothing on Shabbos? Why do we wear it? Because of kavod. That's the idea of clothing, and nice clothing specifically. So Vashti is a sefer Rinas Yitzchak. He says this idea from the Maharal. The Maharal says that she would make the women undress on Shabbos because Shabbos deserves kavod. It says, and therefore you have to wear nice clothing on Shabbos. And then she wanted to take away our honor, the honor of the Jewish people. She wanted us to become devoid of honor. But Vashti was, says the Rinas Yitzchak, Vashti was also dishonored by not wearing clothing. Because when you walk around, wouldn't you feel embarrassed? Let's say you had to wake up in the morning and you just walked out on the street wearing absolutely nothing. Okay, besides the fact that they would arrest you for indecent exposure within minutes, and you'd be very famous because everybody would be talking about you everywhere. Hey, hear about that guy from Yeshiva who's walking around the old city? But you would feel very embarrassed. That's why Levush is Roshei Tevos, is an acronym for, it's short for, Lo Bush. Lo Bush. Bush shouldn't come to Israel. Lo Bush meaning not embarrassed. Because by covering up yourself with clothing, what are you doing? You're causing yourself not to be embarrassed. Because it's embarrassing that everybody else is going to be walking around with clothing and you're going to be naked. That's embarrassing. Brian is nodding his head. It is embarrassing.
Sometimes clothing can embarrass also.
So it's Mida Keneged Mida. We're taking away her honor, says the Gemara. Vashti's honor by making her walk around naked, because she tried to take away the honor of the Jews and away the honor of Shabbos by making Jewish women not wear clothing on Shabbos. Now it's interesting. Clothing could be bring you honor, but clothing can also be misleading. It's interesting. The word in Hebrew for beged is bogade. What does bogade mean? A traitor. A me'il is a jacket, a coat. It could also be like me'ila. What's me'ila? Misappropriation of temple property. When you misuse temple property. So you see that begadim can be bogade, and me'ilim can do me'ila. So what can clothing do? That's exactly what we had by Yaakov. Right? What did Yaakov do? Yaakov was wearing Esav's clothing in order to mislead his father. So clothing, for good reason, but that's what he was doing. Clothing can also be misleading. That's why a guy can wear, you know, dress up a certain way. Let's say a guy dresses up and he has a long beard and payas and black clothing, and then he asks you for a loan. So what is he dressing up as? An honest person. Because you're assuming that if somebody dresses like someone who Shomer Torah misses, he also keeps the mitzvah of being honest. And then if he isn't an honest person, so then his clothing are misleading. So clothing could be really an expression of something deep inside. And clothing can also be misleading. That a guy dresses a certain way, he dresses the part, but it's not really him, and there are people walking around like that, guys. There are people walking around who look completely like tzaddikim, and they're rishayim. Inside, they're rotten. It's not the majority. It's a very, very small minority. But there are people who are mechalei Shabbos. There are people who do the worst sins, the most egregious sins, and they're dressed like religious people. Now, people have said, oh, how can a religious person do this? The answer is, he's not religious. He's wearing a costume. He's wearing a costume. And that's maybe the idea of where and why we wear costumes on Purim. Right? There are many different explanations given as to why we wear costumes on Purim. But one reason might be, because what happens when, at least I know for myself, what happens when someone wearing a costume on Purim? First, I laugh. I really enjoy it. I always get excited. Purim night. I go into the Beis Medrash, and I like to see what everyone's wearing. Right? But then what's the question you always ask after you see the guy's costume? What? Who is that guy? Who is he really? Right? He's dressed up as something, but you want to know, you know somebody's behind it. You want to get to the Pneumius. So we wear these clothing, maybe in memory of this, that she made them, that the idea of Purim is covered, of looking deeper, right? We have this like Vashti of making them get naked, and she got naked, she took away their cover. We want to give cover, we want to look, okay, I know he's dressed up as a bumblebee, I know he's dressed up, one time a guy dressed up as a shower, one time a guy dressed up as whatever it might be, as a ninja turtle, whatever it might be, you see the ninja turtle, and you say, ah, he might be a ninja turtle, but he's also the best guy in the shir. Right? He's also the biggest masman in the yeshiva. So that is the idea of clothing. So what's our job? Our job is not, Roni, just to wear clothing that show us to be members of this very special group called those B'nai Torah, people who represent good character and good qualities and honesty and uprightness and sincerity, and that we live meaningful lives. It's not only, we're not only supposed to dress that way, but we're really supposed to live that way. As we're supposed to dress in a way that expresses our internal qualities. So that's the lesson of the Big Day Kahuna. That's why Big Day Kahuna are lekavod l'tefaris, so we don't negate the importance of clothing. Some people say all that matters is life. That's not all that matters. There's a lot more to it. It's supposed to express something deeper. The Big Day Kahuna are kavod. And the only thing is we have to make sure that it's not just external. Some people put such an emphasis on the externals that they forget what really matters. And we have to obviously focus on what really matters. And the outside expression should just show and display that there's a lot more what's going on inside. Yes, my sweet friend Zev.
You said that...
Anyway, just to make one more point, that in Europe they used to have different schools of Musr. And the schools of Musr, all of them had one goal, and the goal was to be good Jews and to have good character, but they had different means to achieve that end. So in the Vedic, the means were shiflus ha'adam. They would try to show how low man is, and then when you feel you're so low, then you can't sin. You can't do anything wrong because you're nothing. So who are you to do anything wrong? You just listen to your orders. So Navarik is not for any of you guys today. It's not for most people today. But in Slobodka, they did just the opposite. In Slobodka, they stressed godless Adam. What's godless Adam? That man is great. Man is a king. And there's a sefer, Or HaTzofen, which was based on the speeches of the Alter from Slobodka, from Nassim Tzvi Finkel. So there you have literally 500-700 pages of speeches that he gave trying to show how great you are. How great you are. And once you're so great, it's beneath your dignity to act in a way that doesn't befit you. For example, so what they used to do was, and you see pictures of the great Rosh Yeshivas of Rav Aaron Cutler and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rav Yitzchak Kuttner and Rav Ruderman, all these men who later on we heard of them, if you heard of them in America, they came to America and they became great Rosh Yeshiva, so they were his Talmidim. And later on they wore long black coats, but that's not the way they used to dress in Europe. In Europe, when they were Bachum, they were all clean shaven, and they wore the fanciest modern clothing. They dressed like nobility. Because back then, that's the way that was like considered like the cutting edge of style. And they dressed in a very stylish way. Why? Because he wanted his Talmidim to feel like they were kings. And by you feel like you're a king, when you dress like a king, when you dress what you just you feel differently. You'll see when you put on shorts and a t-shirt how you feel, and when you before you go to your wedding and you're putting on your suit, how do you feel then? You feel like a king. It even says Chassan Dom Lamelech. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was very makbid that a chassan should wear a nice hat at his wedding. Because since a chassan is like a king, so a king wears a crown. So we held it, and one time there was a wedding, and somebody gave a straw hat. The chassan wasn't wearing a hat, but Soloveitchik wanted a hat. Somebody had a straw hat. He says, no, that's not good. A king doesn't wear a straw hat. All right, so then somebody had a felt one, and then the Rav Soloveitchik agreed that he should use that. So again, this isn't a shir to tell you guys to wear a hat. But the point is that a person should dress in a way that reflects his nobility, that he's a king. So they would, and then when you feel like you're a very distinguished person, there's certain things you don't do. And for example, you won't see a gadol walking down the street eating pizza or licking an ice cream cone. So when I was a kid, I loved that. I'd go come home from the way home from school. I would stop off at the local ice cream store on 75th Street, and I'd get myself an ice cream, and I would lick it on the way home, and it was delicious. And then it was sunny, and it would get all over my hands, and it would get all sticky, but I didn't care. I was just loving my ice cream cone. Right? What does it say in the Gemara? Ha'ochel bashuk. If you eat in the marketplace, if you eat walking down the street, dom el keller. So I don't not eat on the street anymore because of that Gemara. I don't eat on the street anymore because I really feel like a dog when I eat on the street. I really feel that way. Why? Because it's just, it's been so...
Literally?
It's
ingrained
in me, thank you for the word, that eating on the street makes you like an animal. Not only do I feel like an animal, but when I see other people, like during the summer, I see people of all ages, like eating ices, walking down the street, like the whole family is walking down the street with their ices. But it's Dom Elekeller. Not only that, but it also says you're puzzled.
Is it a sin to do that?
What?
It's a sin to do that?
It's not a sin. That's the point. My point here, we're not talking about sins. We're talking about feeling dignified. When you walk down the street licking ices, it's just not a dignified way of eating ices. So it could be that some people say, no, I think it's just as dignified as... But again, if you would see a gadol doing it, I think you'd look at him a little bit funny. So we know that, let's say, two cats, they meet on the street, and they like each other, and they want to make more cats. They do it right there on the street. And there are also people like that. People also, you see two cats, I heard a story of a guy, true story, a religious man was once, an older man, was once walking down the street, and there was two, a guy and a girl sitting at a bus stop, and he looks at them, and he was so disgusted. He says, "Ata chatul ve'at chatula." You know, you're two cats, and you're licking each other. Right, because they were sitting, you know, in the bus stop doing what they were doing, and he was just so disgusted by it. Why? Because it's not dignified. Is there anything wrong with a man loving a woman? If there was anything wrong with a man loving a woman, then none of us would be in this room. It's a very good thing for a man to love a woman. However, it should only be done in private quarters. Not everybody has to see it. So when you eat, if you do that dignified, that I don't have to explain to you guys, but eating is the same way. So halachically, if somebody walks down the street and they eat falafel, they cannot be a witness at a Jewish wedding. Ha'ochel bashuk is pasul la'edus. If you eat hamotzi walking down the street, you are pasul la'edus. You can't be. That's why I'm always nervous when I go to a wedding that the edim should be, the witnesses should be people who are really like serious Jews. It also says some people walk just wearing shorts, no shirt. Pasul la'edus. Why? Because if you don't respect yourself, you'll lie falsely. So, maybe some of us have done it, and I know it's definitely done. In New York City, you walk down the street in the summer, you'll see people walking around shirtless. However, I hope that we have a sense that that's just not a dignified way to walk down the street. So, the point that I'm trying to make is that the more you feel that you're a dignified person, the more you feel that you're a king, that you're a melech, the more you're going to act like a melech. And then it's not going to be, you're not going to speak certain ways, and you're also not going to go to certain places. Right? Let's just say a crazy example. It's Saturday night, and you're sitting at a bar. Not that it's permitted to go to a bar, but let's just say that you're assuming that no one's that I'm not going to walk in. But there it is. I walk in, and you're very embarrassed. Like earlier this year, I saw a guy walking down the street, one of our guys, and he was smoking. So I saw very clearly the cigarette was in his hand, and he was smoking it, right? But then when he saw me, he turned his back to me, and he threw the cigarette on the ground, and he put it out. And then he looked at me, I said to him, listen, I'm not a policeman. I'm not here to get you in trouble. But, smoking really isn't good for you. It's really not good. So I walk into the bar, and first you turn your back to me because you're a little bit embarrassed. But then all of a sudden, you hear me, say something inappropriate, and order a beer. And then I start drinking a beer, and then I say, hey, how you doing? And you're like a little embarrassed. You're like, Rev Ehrman. I say, no, Rev Ehrman, that's for work. You can call me Al. How are things doing? What are you doing here? You say, there's a lot of hanging out with people here. So, I'm meeting new people, and I'm having a good time, having a drink. So, you're cruising chicks. Oh, me too. It's great. Oh, it's fun. Hey, what do you like? Check out that one, table 4, the third one from the left. What did you think about me? It's a little bit beneath my dignity, don't you think? Don't you think? Even though it sounds like I'm embarrassed saying it, but I just want to... It's beneath... Why? Because I represent something to you, and when I don't act that way, you think it's a little bit funny. Let's say the same exact thing would happen, and you'd meet a friend of yours who's in, Lashon Hara, but just think of either a yeshiva or certainly a program here in Israel where people have a reputation for going to such places. Yes? And we'll call it a program. A program where they do, 2 months of learning on a kibbutz and 6 months of touring and having a good time. So, not a religious kibbutz. They're not even learning religious. But you see a friend of yours from high school and you see him in the bar and he is acting in the way that I just described. Would you think it's funny? No. Like, that's the way people act at bars. They drink a little bit, they speak inappropriately, and they check out the possible shidduch possibilities. So it wouldn't be. So therefore, the more respectable you think, like this is beneath me. Like let's say you get married. That's why it's important to get married. Like I'm a married man. Like this is not the right way for me to act. That's why when you're single, it's not right to flirt ever. Why don't you never just stop flirt, right? But when you're married, it's completely considered inappropriate. Societally, it's considered inappropriate. Whereas when you're single, societally, it's considered appropriate. For a Ben Torah, you should be the type of person. Like, it's never right for me, right? You should always... And then you get married and you have children, you're a father. So your kids look at you as their father. So I know my children are looking at me as a father. So it requires certain behaviors of me. And my kids expect it. I have one kid in particular who's if she catches me for... Well, she, I guess it gives it away. If the kid catches me for a moment without my yarmulke... Not with lack of respect, but she holds me in such, it seems that she really reveres me as her father, and she looks up to me as a role model, and if I'm without a yarmulke for a minute, she's like, but Abba, atabali kipa. I can't believe it. So I know, if my kids are looking at me in a certain way, I have to act in a certain way. And then when you, what?
It's a good fence.
It's a good fence. It's a good fence. So all of you this summer, I assume, are going to be in some, or most of you, in some framework. You're going to be a counselor or something, where people are looking up to you. You're beyond the stage where you're the young kid. Now you're the guy in charge. So now you have to act in a certain way. And I remember in camp, I remember when I was a kid, I remember the counselors. So a lot of them were hypocrites. In front of us, they'll say, oh, guys, you got to get up for davening now. Come on. You got to daven. It's important. You know, we got to be on time. Right, but you know on the side what they're up to. But if you are real about it, if you're sincere, then you're the counselor. You're in charge. You're the madrich, whatever it might be. And then this also requires certain behaviors of you. So that is, especially if you, chas v'shalom, if you are in a non-Jewish environment, then you have the biggest responsibility. Because then everybody's watching you, and you're God's. You know, if you go to non-Jewish college, that was the Chas V'Shalom method. We're surrounded by non-Jews. That's not Chas V'Shalom. But if you're in a non-Jewish college, everybody is looking at you. You're a role model. So you have to act in a certain way. Somebody told me about a certain college. I don't want to say which. And with this, we'll end. He said to me like this. He said, you know, we're doing really well there. The guys go to Minyan, and the guys, we have a learning program, and we're all really holding strong. And he started mentioning this guy, and this guy, and this guy. I was like, that's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I said, tell me something. Do you party? Do you party with, you know, the guys in college and the girls? He's like, what are you talking about? Everybody parties. He says, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist that you're in this college and you're not partying. So we go to Minyan and we also party. I said, and what do you, I'm very naive. I'm very naive because you know what for me a party is? One of the parties I go to, they have a mechitza, you know, they have Chaim David, they have some guy, you know, men on one side, women on the other side, we sing Yivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, we have a few divrei Torah. For me, that's a party. You know, I've been in Jerusalem, a good part of my life, so for me, that's a party. But since I'm not so naive, that I think that's what his party is, like, are there girls at the party? Of course there are girls at the party. And what else? Alcohol. And what are people talking about? I'll tell you what they're not talking about. They're not talking about what we learned tonight, the Sufis Ma'arachos of Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldich. That's not what they're talking about. They're not talking about what's the true definition of kavod. Now, you go to, he said, everybody, so what's it all worth then? What's it all, first of all, it's against halach, you know, that a party was going. But besides that, but you should feel so much self-respect, it's beneath me to sit and get drunk with goyim. It's beneath me. And it's beneath me to even be in this place. It's beneath me. That's the way you should feel. And then when you feel that way, it's not even going to be a test anymore. You just say, I would be embarrassed. As a matter of fact, I have a debate with myself. I'll get to your question in about 67 seconds. One of my guides in this world is Rav Volbe. Rav Volbe was one of the biggest mashgichim in Israel, and he taught thousands of people how to be Jewish. So one time, a guy came to him from a certain American yeshiva, and he said to him that his boys are hanging out at night on Ben Yehuda Street and all these types of places. What should he do about it? So you know what Rav Volbe told him? Rav Volbe said, you should also go to Ben Yehuda Street and hang out with your boys. Because a good Rebbe is where his boys are. So ever since I read that, I even think before I read that, I always had a debate with myself. I always thought, what am I doing on Saturday night sitting with Talmud Hasidim, shuckling back and forth, listening to the Rebbe talk about Hashem, the Holy Rebbe, Shlita, I love him. Instead, I should be on Ben Yehuda and Amek, where I'll find out where more guys are, with our guys, and hang out with them. That's what I really should be doing. Because that's what it's, if you're going to be a Rebbe in Yeshiva, you're going to be a Mechanech, that has to be your life. You have to be, if the guys are partying, you're partying. The guys are playing football, you're at the game. Right? They always used to have in the news, right? Warner Wolf, he was his news sportscaster, say, and so-and-so was at the game. And he'd always say, it was funny, there was a weatherman. What was the weatherman? Al Roker, I think was his name. He was like this big, you know, jolly black weatherman. Yeah. And
he's still around.
He lost weight, Baruch Hashem. So they would have, he used to fast a lot, so there'd be rain, you know, so he lost weight. So, the Gemara says you fast for rain. So they would put the camera at like Madison Square Garden of some, you know, like the mascot or some like really funny looking guy wearing some costume. And then like the guy, the sportscaster would say, and Al Roker was at the game. So, if the guys are at the game, you should be at the game. So I have a debate with myself, really? You guys are the Talmid Yeshiva. You'll tell me what you think. Should I go? I always think I should go. And you know what always stops me? I always think to myself, but it's beneath, it disgusts me to even walk there. It's so slimy, it's sleazy there from it. So, just everyone's, it's such like sunus and it's lightheadedness and it's callous roche and it's not for me. Like, my life, I hope, I'm trying anyway, is about Torah and Avodah and Tefillah and getting close to Hashem and in there, it's just like, you know, the very intermingling of the sexes is against halacha, and it's also not the environment I want to be in. Forgetting about halacha, it's just not the environment I want to be in. On the other hand, the guys are there, so I don't know what to do. But I know what stops me every time is kavod. On the other hand, sometimes for Hashem, you have to forget about your kavod, as we see by David HaMelech. David HaMelech was dancing in front of the Aron, and his wife Michal says, you're looking like a fool, you look like an idiot, David HaMelech, you're the king, and you're embarrassing yourself. And what did David HaMelech say? He said, for Hashem? For Hashem, I'll go even! For Hashem, I'll completely humiliate myself. I'm dancing in front of God's ark. I'll do anything for God. So the biggest kavod is to give a kavod to Hashem. It means lowering your own kavod. Maybe I should lower my kavod. I don't know, but I'm telling you something very personal. My own debate with myself. And we should all be zochem to Hashem to feel a lot of self-respect and to give respect to other people and to be filled with Torah and to always look in the penimius and to be zochem always to serve Hashem.